At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Garcia throws, Jaren swings and misses, three straight changeups, and he is gone. Wow. The 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Got him with a slider. And they're two down. The pitch, swing and a miss. Struck him out. Fastball 97. Red Sox load the bases with nobody out, and they do not score. Wow.
That's what a lot of the game sounded like last night. Late in that contest against the Orioles, pushed it to 11 innings, kept us up all late just to be frustrated and bothered.
I was trying to play some Xbox Mego, and I had to stay up and watch the Red Sox lose that.
Yeah. What were you playing?
So I just finished Mafia: The Old Country, by the way, pretty good.
What is that? Is that a role-player game? Do you make a character?
No, it's like a story you follow in the game, but like it's the fourth game in the series. It was good, but I usually play EA Sports College Football because I'm nuts. So.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Well, that's
in the year 2030.
You're educating
2029
yourself.
With North Carolina. They're finally a powerhouse. So,
is Bill Belichick there?
Technically, I'm the head coach because you make your own head coach when you do it. So Steve Belichick's my DC, though, still.
He's not taken over the team yet?
Not yet, no. I did fire Freddie Kitchens, though. As OC. After 2027, I had to fire Freddie Kitchens. It just wasn't working out at OC.
We'll see how that goes, and then maybe you can drop a line to Jordan, and you can let her know that this is the direction the program should go in.
Yeah.
No more Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
Let's get to some Red Sox calls before we turn the page over to the Patriots, because there's a lot to catch up on there with our wonderful Jimmy Fund over the last couple days. I was down at Patriots practice, and can let you in on what I saw down there and what I think a lot of people are freaking out about with Drake May. But first, let's go to Dan in Boston. You want to talk about Alex Cora, the difference maker in the dugout, according to the Boston Globe. What's up, Dan? Dan? Oh, Dan, you disappoint me. We'll put you on hold and see if you come back around. Let's go to Richard in Salisbury. Richard, what's up? All right. Are we just having an issue here with the phones? What's going on?
Richard.
I'm sorry.
Everything looks normal on this end.
I'm not hearing anything. So I'm going to figure that out for a minute. Sorry that I said that you guys disappointed me because I think this might be a technical issue. I'll put you on hold there and we'll try to effort to figure out what's going on here. You're not hearing anything, are you, John?
No.
Okay. Whenever something like this happens, I have absolutely no idea how to.
We can pretend that they complimented us and agreed with all our points and go from there.
I like to think that they are all calling in about Jaren Duran because the text line can't get over like how soft I'm being about the Duran thing. I gotta say, guys, like it's not that what he said I think is so entirely inappropriate. It's not as bad as what he said in the past.
Right.
It's just that you don't want him yelling back at fans at this point.
And like I said before, I think he's such an emotional player. And Brian Bello's kind of like this too, obviously without the vocabulary. But it feels like he sometimes the struggles will bother him a little too much. And then it'll affect his play going forward, right? Because again, like we said before, this guy that a year ago, All-Star Game MVP, led the majors in doubles and triples. And he's not having a bad year by any means. But he's not having that, hey, this guy could be a top 20 player in the league season that I think a lot of people and maybe himself were hoping for earlier in the year. And then he strikes out last night in a huge situation, right? Bases loaded. And you wonder if a lot of that frustration kind of, that was just a manifestation of it. And I think for him, again, sometimes the emotion he plays with is good, but that's a double-edged sword. Sometimes it's like one bad thing can kind of snowball into two or three bad things.
Catastrophize.
Yeah.
The text line says that it's possible that he was yelling at himself. He was cussing at himself.
I've yelled at myself before.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. I actually playing EA college football. I'll yell at things like that at myself.
Do you call yourself by your like Christian name?
No, I'll just
GD, John, get it together.
No, I'll just like do something. I'll be like, idiot, effing idiot, like something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I used to do that when I was coaching too sometimes.
But even if that's the case, I mean, show yourself a little kindness, Sharon Duran. All right, we're going to try to do these calls a different way. Can you guys try bringing up Dan in Boston? Because something's going on my end. Dan.
Hello.
Oh, you sound wonderful. Sorry, I scolded you before. You want to talk about Alex Cora?
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. So last night we had a great opportunity. Bottom of the 10th. Bases loaded. One out. Toro, who's 0-for-8 in the last two games, 1-for-11 the last three games. Abreu, I believe, is he's available to at least pinch hit. So I want to put that out, and I'll hang up and see what you guys have to say.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Yeah, there was one point, I think Rafael had his glove on in the dugout, and I was like, oh, maybe he'll pinch hit, and then they didn't. And I know Abreu, the injury situation is a little murkier, but I think even, I mean, you just take it on its servant, like the eighth inning. Like Duran's story, like those are supposed to be your better play. And they have been good. I mean, again, I know Duran's had a disappointing year, but he's been solid at least. And Story's been really good for most of the year. Like you expect guys like that to come through in that situation. And I would argue, Mago, Roman Anthony in the 11th did come through. They just didn't send the runner. Like he got the fly ball out, I think, deep enough to score. So he did come through and they didn't send the runner.
But even at that point, I mean, that's a possible game tying run.
Right.
Like that's putting you in a position where
you're not losing
into this game that feels like torture at that point because you keep loading the bases and then striking out, loading the bases, striking out, loading the bases, striking out. Let's see if I strike out. I want to try to take this one because I think I might have figured out what was wrong on my computer. Richard in Salisbury. Richard, are you there?
Yeah, good morning,
Woo-hoo!
Guys. How are you doing?
Okay,
all right?
Thank you. I fixed it. I fixed our technical difficulty.
Yeah, you took care of it, Mago.
I clicked something weird on my computer. I'm not a tech person. Richard, you want to talk about the Red Sox?
Do I want to talk about the Red Sox? I got to tell you, last night, I'm sitting there with a vomit bag, you know, and I can't do this anymore. I come home at 7 o'clock at night. I'm fired up. I want to watch these guys, you know, go through, advance, and make the playoffs. You know, you talk about the air out of the balloon. The balloon popped. The balloon popped back when Crochet lost and Bale. We started having our pitching staff fold again. We've seen this before. We've seen this for the last 2 years. And you know what? I put a lot of it on Cora. I'm sorry. But in-game communication, how many people in that ballpark knew that all we had to do was get a fly ball to center field? We got a guy at third. Wouldn't you want to take the chance with the throw to the plate versus what's going to happen to the next batter? I mean, come on, guys. It's just I give Cora credit, but a lot of times it's on him, you know, and it's just bad decision-making, you know. I've seen the kids from Braintree recently make better decisions.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Yeah, shout out Braintree. Quite a deep run. Great, great season for them, little leaguers.
See, that's a group of kids that's probably excited for the school year to start because they're going to walk in first day of school, all the Little League World Series gear on.
The biggest deal. The biggest deal.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there is something about this time of year. I miss that. I nobody loves going back to school, but there is that back to school swag. You get your braces off, get your new clothes. Those little leaguers, like,
was there ever
king
when
of
you
the
went
school.
Back to school? Right, we're back in the old Maryland days. Mm-hmm. Was there ever like one back to school shopping item you like had to have, or you really remember that you were like, oh, I felt so cool going back to school?
The thing I never understood was you'd get your list from the teacher, and they never let you have Trapper Keepers. Do you remember the Trapper Keeper?
I have no idea what that is.
You don't know what a Trapper Keeper is?
No.
Do you guys, producer Billy Lynn,
class?
Do you remember? Were your teachers anti-Trapper Keeper?
No, there was no issue with them.
Oh, I remember for some reason we were not allowed to have the Trapper Keepers, and I thought they looked
jealous
really cool.
Of your Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper?
Wait, did he?
No, I said they were jealous of your Lisa Frank.
Oh, I thought
Trapper
you said
Keeper.
Adam Jones had a Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper,
which I
was like.
I asked if classmates were jealous of yours.
I fully believe it, knowing Jones well, that he would have a Lisa Frank with the dolphins exploding into neon heavenly scene. Yeah, we weren't allowed to have Trapper Keepers, but other than that, like, I don't know.
I was going to say, my sneakers.
I was very into what sneakers I was going to get for the year.
Yeah, my highlight was the first day of school, 1999. It was the first jersey I ever got. My mom bought me a Randy Moss Vikings jersey.
Oh, that's
and I
sick.
Felt so cool, Mego, walking in. I think it was second grade. I was like, this is awesome.
And you don't wear it until the first day.
No, I think I got it in early August or whenever I got it. And I was like, I'm wearing it the first day. I'm like, fine.
Yeah, you got your outfit planned out.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't go away. This time of year, I'm always like getting squirrely. Can't stop a woman from shopping. I'll tell you something.
And fall's coming, so.
Fall's coming. I don't know. The seasons are a little weird now.
That's true.
I did a bit on the old afternoon show several years ago that we need to break up our New England seasons. Like, four seasons are not enough because they never make sense at this point. We need seven different seasons.
What, you have like fake spring, real
spring?
Well,
one of the seasons is like extra summer, like summer plus.
Yeah.
Where it's not really fall yet because now you know this weather today sucks. But we'll have like 3 weeks in September where it's the most glorious weather of the entire year.
And you'll have that 1 week in September where it's like 90 degrees multiple times and you're like, what's going on?
And everybody already took their air conditioning units out.
Yep.
And I have central air and it's great, but we have a dog and it's just killing us in terms of keeping it on at all hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no way to win there with the air conditioning. We're going to hit trending on the other side. We are going to turn over to the Patriots because all of a sudden, man, they just set these guys up to knock them down, you know, like bowling pins. That's what I think is going on here. There are a lot of people out there talking about expectations for Drake May. We're going to listen to one of them, but I'm telling you, there are many voices out there saying, pump the brakes on Drake May. He might not be that good this year. You guys are expecting too much from him. You're asking too much from him.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music,
or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
I guess this is one maybe where I want to pump the brakes just a little. I know they've been saying he's been like great in practice and doing, you know, a lot of positive things up there in New England. But I will say there's a few throws in that game the other day that won, like, I think the first completion of the game. I mean, the ball was 6 feet high. The guy made an incredible catch going over the middle to get it. Then he should have thrown an interception where another ball was 7 or 8 feet over the target, right? Also at a moment of like, wait, people are open. It looked like he was gun shy. Then he ran out of the pocket and threw to somebody open there, right? And all I'm saying is, like, I'm expecting a good year from Drake May. I don't know if I think it's going to be quite as superstar as everybody else thinks it is, especially the New England fans. I think they're already like, oh, he's about to be a top 8 or 9 quarterback in football here right now. And that's where I want to say pump the brakes.
That was Chris Sims discussing Drake May and whether our expectations up here in New England are far too high for the second-year quarterback. This is Megan Ottolini with John Lyons. We're filling in for Jones and Keith today. The guy's taking a couple days off after a very successful Jimmy Fund radio telethon. So shout out to them. This upcoming segment is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. So Chris Sims isn't the only person, especially from a national perspective, who I've heard express this sentiment over the last couple of days. Really just yesterday, because Julian Edelman, we all know him quite well, was on Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast from NBC Sports Boston. And we're going to get to his comments later on in the show. But he was expressing something similar, which is everybody slow down with your Drake May expectations. And I first take issue with what he's saying there, which is New Englanders think that Drake May is going to be a top 10 quarterback this year. Do you feel that that's the expectation, John Lyons? Because I would say, like, if Drake is a top 15, if he's in the top half of the league in his second season with everything that he has to go through in terms of a new offense, a new offensive coordinator, pass catchers who are not so improved as a group from compared to last year, that he's actually in a good spot. If he's top 15, top 16, like, that is really good progress for him.
Yeah, I would agree. We're talking about a guy that didn't start until week 6 last year, which was the correct thing to do, as we're seeing with the Colts and Anthony Richardson, right, sitting some of these guys. But didn't start till week 6, only finished one win, right? That Jets win, Jacoby Brissett finished. The Buffalo win was the Joe Milton, you know, Bills tried to lose game, whatever. But only finished one win, and he had 16 turnovers last year. I mean, again, 10 interceptions, 6 fumbles, lot. Like, the biggest thing for me, and I know if you've listened on EEI, I sound like a broken record, can he cut down on the turnovers? And I know a lot of people are like, can he throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and whatever? And yeah, like, I think he should be able to throw for 25 touchdowns or more. But can he get the interception numbers lower? Or can he get the interception numbers similar but in 17 starts? Like, that's the biggest thing. And you look at him so far this camp. You've been down there pretty much every day. I was down there 5 times, including the joint practice against Washington. It feels like he is progressing and he looks better than last year. But there's still some of those moments, and the Minnesota first drive is a great example with the high throw and then the overthrow that was almost picked, where you still look at it and you say, okay, there's still some things that need to work on here. The turnover against Washington in the preseason game, too. You still look at it and you say, okay, there's still some things to work on. So if he can get to 14th or 15th, that's a step forward
from last Lions,
year.
Like, you've been saying that about the turnovers, and a lot of people have said that since the end of his rookie season. The most important thing for Drake May is to eliminate those turnovers and be able to take care of the ball. The old Bill Belichick idea of you got to not lose the game before you can be the superhero and win the game. He's mostly been doing that this preseason, and it still feels like people are saying, I'm not seeing enough from him. I hear a lot of people saying, I'm not seeing enough from him. And look, he had the terrible turnover in the preseason game against the Commanders. That was such a bad turnover because he looked inexperienced. He looked like he had no composure. He was trying to do too much at once. Like, everything that he could have done wrong on that play instead of taking the sack, he did wrong, and Vrabel ripped him for it.
Yeah. But now, in-game, in the halftime
now it feels
interview.
Like, honestly, it feels like people are moving the goalposts to me in two different directions, where people are saying it's not enough that he had one turnover that was really a tipped pass in the Commanders joint practice, and other than that, I think he was an A- to B+ in my estimation. And he had zero turnovers in the joint practices against Minnesota, when if you look at the reports of what was happening with the offensive line there, he was under constant pressure and still looked like the most solid piece of the offense. But then people look at the way that he starts out the Minnesota preseason game against backups and go, two high throws. Like, how tall does he think Pop Douglas is? They're moving the goalpost to say that's not enough from him. He's not accelerating fast enough. I'm worried that he's not getting good quickly enough. And then at the same time saying, because of that, I don't think that we should put so much responsibility on Drake this year. Let me say something. Like, the offense hinges on Drake. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. You can talk about how many yards you think Steph Diggs is going to have and whether you think that Will Campbell is going to be able to be a serviceable left tackle. At the end of the day, it really just comes down to what Drake May can make out of everything here.
And I think, too, if we're adding the context to it, on that first drive, he had a terrific throw to Travion Henderson that Henderson dropped on that wheel route that would have been a first down. And
the safety did close down on top of him, like, immediately. I mean, people thought that was not a hospital ball, but it was a close call.
I thought May put that in as good a spot as you could, given the situation. And I thought May was better on the second drive as well. And then they went down and scored. And he's not perfect. And I think that's one of the issues here, is that a lot of people around here, our frame of reference for quarterback is the best guy ever.
Yeah, forget
so,
that.
Like, May, and even people who talk about, like, Josh Allen, right? You hear that comparison all the time. Well, first of all, Josh Allen's first couple of years, he was not good at all.
He made the playoffs the second year.
He did, but he wasn't, like, that.
No, I didn't think
he was that good.
You've got to look back, Lions, because the way that we talked about Josh Allen that second year, Brady was still here, and when the Bills came to town, they were a fine team, and we made so much fun of Josh Allen. We were like, the guy is going to concuss somebody who's selling soda up in the stands because his arm is insane and he can't control it. But, like, if you look back at the stats and you look at that team, they were fine. If the Patriots had that season and Drake May had that season, I think everybody would be all right with it.
Yeah, I mean, if they're a playoff, I agree. Like, if they're a playoff team, then, of course, everyone's fine with it. But I would say, even on the Allen point, I think the biggest reason that he's elevated himself from a guy that really was not good early to better to now one of the best in the game is he hasn't turned the ball over as much. Like, if you look at the stats, the yards have always been there, touchdowns have always been there, but he went from having 18 interceptions in 2023 to 6 last year. Like that is the difference in a lot of these guys. And I know that's not sexy, that's not the fun thing and the yards thing, but think about May last year. It wasn't just the turnovers, Mego. It was a force-it interception to end the game against Tennessee, a force-it interception to end the game against the Rams, a force-it interception in the end zone against the Bills.
Are you saying it's not just, because those are all turnovers, so are you saying it's not just the turnovers, it's when they happen?
That's big part of it, but I think it also leads to, I think there were times last year where he looked, and he was a rookie, but also he looked around and said, wow, there's not anything around me, and I have to
And he was right.
And he was right, but then he tried to do too much, and it backfired. And I think now there's more around. Now, are they an elite operation on him? No, but there's more around him, and he's older. You don't have to do that. And I think the turnover in the Washington game was a good example of that. Can he cut down on maybe that mentality a little bit of I have to do so much? Because you're right in that so much of this season hinges on his development and his growth. And I think a huge part of that is playing a little bit more just kind of in the structure of things, which when he's been good this training camp, joint practice against Washington, joint practice against the Vikings, those other drives in the preseason games, it feels like he's done a lot more of that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I took away, and I think you'd probably agree, from the Washington practice was how quickly he got the ball out. Like, that might just be, they might just have to run that McDaniels offense.
He would have even been better if it weren't for a few drops in that Washington practice.
Oh,
you
yeah.
and I were there. We saw a few. And that Vikings practice.
From Travion Henderson and Pop Douglas Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
We're not talking about just like Kyle Williams, who's a rookie trying to figure it out.
And that Vikings defense and those joint practices, whether people want to hear it or not, you could make the case that's the best defense they're going to go against all year. Like, Brian Flores, flip a coin with him and Spagnuolo. Those are the two best DCs in the NFL. They've revamped that front seven. They still have a good secondary. The team won 14 games a year ago. So it's good that he went up against a defense like that, and it's good that he performed well in the joint practice. I would have liked to have seen him build on it in that first drive against the Vikings. I felt he did in the second drive, but again, to your point about moving the goalpost, that's kind of the nature of a second-year quarterback that started 26 games in college.
And that's it to me, John, is that, like, other than Mike Sando from The Athletic, I feel like what a lot of people are saying is, without saying, is, I don't really know this guy that well. Like, in terms of Drake May, I don't totally know who this guy is because we haven't seen very much of him, and I don't know if he knows who he is. He's not even 23 years old. Played 26 games in college. Started 26 games.
Third offense in 3 years.
Started
12
games last year. Missed some time with head injuries. Now has a different offensive coordinator. I feel like people are dancing around. Like, I can set my expectations, but I really don't have a lot of information on exactly who this guy is, even being down there at practice every day. Like, my feeling is Drake gets a little too amped up at some of these games. And when he's under the bright lights, that's where he overthrows guys, and he has to figure out how to, like, rein that emotion in a little bit, and maybe it can only come through experience. And I agree with you that he has so much of a muscle memory of being like, I'm the big kid out here who's the best athlete, and I always have been. So when these other guys aren't picking it up for me, I got to put it on me for my team. I don't think it's like a selfish hero ball style of thing. I think it's the same thing that Josh Allen had of being, if somebody's going to make it happen, it's got to be me because I'm the best one.
Yeah, and you just go back to last year, per PFF, they allowed 35 sacks total, but 17 of them came against their offensive tackles. So he's used to facing pressure all the time, especially around the edges. He's used to moving around all the time. And I think it's the same conversation, Mego, we've had against about the receivers, about the offensive line. They're going to be better, but better doesn't automatically equate to you're great, right? Like, Drake May is going to be better this year, but that doesn't mean he's automatically going to be the fifth or sixth best quarterback in football. Like, if he is the 14th best quarterback in football, that's a step forward. And then if in year three, he's the eighth or ninth best, that's another step forward. Like, that's what you want in the development of these guys. Like, hey, everybody wants Joe Burrow in year two to go to the Super Bowl and be awesome. I get it. But very rare. It's usually the other way around, where it takes 2, 3, 4 years. Like, Lamar Jackson won the MVP his first full year starting. Great. That's more the exception than it is the rule with a lot of these youngsters. And we're seeing it with other, like, Jaden Daniels had a great year last year. And I know you know that as a Commander. So, not a guarantee he's going to have another great year this year.
Dude, everybody wants Jaden Daniels to feel, like, spectacularly.
I think it's going to be good. But it's no guarantee. And Michael Penix, right, like, didn't start till near the end of last year. Like, he's probably going to take some time to develop. Bo Nix, same. Like, Bo Nix was good last year. Denver's also an awesome situation for a young quarterback that Drake May did not have last year.
I think that the season, I don't want to be, or at least the offense's success, it hinges so much on Drake. And that's just what,
like,
it is.
Any
and
offense.
People are like, if you're sitting here telling me pump the brakes on Drake May, that you don't think he's going to be a really good quarterback this year, then you're telling me that you don't think the offense is going to be good. And those things, like, have to go hand in hand. And maybe that feels kind of obvious, but I think people have been dancing around it in a way because they don't know who Drake is. And it's okay to say that, but like at some point we sit here, you had to make a prediction of who he's going to be. I still think I've thought since the beginning of the offseason that this is between a 7 and 9 win team. I think Drake will be pretty good. I think we'll still see a lot of the turnovers. I think some of the accuracy is going to be a problem at times, but I agree that if he works within Josh McDaniel's system and he trusts the coaching, that he's going to be all right, that he's going to be a top 15 quarterback. Is he going to be a top 10 quarterback? I don't think so. If
I'd
he is, that would be delightful.
In a good way. I'd be pleasantly surprised.
And I think you'd be a playoff team. But I think that you're more like that 7 to 9 range, and a lot of that has to do with Drake. He's figuring it out still, and that's fine.
And we're talking about a team that in the last 2 years combined won 8 games. So if you win 8 this year and you match your win total from the last 2 years combined, that is a step forward. Now, is it the fun divisional round AFC championship game stuff that we were used to for 20 years? No. And me as a Patriots fan, do I want to see them win more than 8? Yes. But if you look at it realistically, if you match your win total this year from the last 2 years combined, that is a step forward with a first-year head coach, a second-year quarterback, and a new offense, and a lot of, let's not forget, young pieces they're relying on to contribute. Travion Henderson's a rookie. Will Campbell's a rookie. Jared Wilson.
Don't get me started with that, man.
But the point is, like, all these guys are either rookies or second-year players. Kayshawn Booty is in his third year and third different offense, right? Like, all these guys are young players that they're relying on, DeMario Douglas too, to have a big impact. So there's going to be some points where May is inconsistent, but don't you think that there's going to be a game that DeMario Douglas is inconsistent or Travion Henderson's quiet for a game or two? Like, that's going to happen. Kyle Williams, I like the player. He's going to be fun. He's going to be quiet for several weeks at a time. Like, that's just the nature of what they're relying on in a lot of these young players.
And we haven't even talked about Steph Diggs and his ongoing beef with Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston that I heard Cardi B is getting involved with, but that's for another segment. If you want to talk Drake May, expectations, how do you feel about so many people saying, hey, pump the brakes with Drake May? He's not going to be a top 10 quarterback this year, you crazy New Englanders. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's go to Tim in Brockton. Tim, how are you feeling about Drake May and his expectations?
Expectations aren't very high with Drake May. His ceiling is Trevor Lawrence, I keep telling everybody. And if the only dynamic player on this team that's going to be good this year is going to be Travion Henderson. And when that happens, he will make Drake May look better than he would have if he wasn't on this team. Drake May shouldn't be held in this high next great thing because he's not that. Patriots fans look embarrassing because they're hopeless on this Drake May. He's not going to be anything. His ceiling's Trevor Lawrence, and the player running back probably open him up.
Thank you, Tim. You feel like his ceiling is Trevor Lawrence? To me, that would be a really big problem.
Trevor Lawrence is supposed to have this high ceiling, and he hasn't
reached it.
That's just the whole thing.
And to me, like, Caleb Williams is much closer to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in Caleb Williams.
Drake, like, if you're trying to chart Drake, I know everybody talks about Josh Allen. Like, Drake might be a little bit more like Jordan Love in terms of his development, in terms of how he goes.
And I think if you look at where Jordan Love is and the direction he's headed, you should want to accept that. Like, that's good. Like, that would be – and again, Jordan Love, to your point, do we look at him as a top 5, top 8 QB? No. But he's consistently gotten better. Maybe now he's hanging around in that 11 to 12 range, 13 with continued development. Maybe he'll be in that 7 to 8 range. And like, that's, again, really, that's what you can hope to look for.
The biggest thing that we have missed in New England since Brady left is the idea of a quarterback that you're winning because of the quarterback, not you're winning with the quarterback. You're winning in spite of the quarterback. You never feel like you were winning games because of Mac Jones.
I'm trying to think to a singular game they
Mac like never even, put even everybody during, on his back, yeah. And he never had a moment, and he never brought teams back. He had one game.
The Houston game, he came back. That's
that
the only
it.
One.
And Houston was
and Houston
dreadful
was bad.
That year.
Yeah, that was a David Culley.
And
yeah,
so like, I think people look at Drake and his ability, and they say they're excited about him because they see him as the kind of quarterback like Josh Allen, where because of his physical ability, because he's a nice kid, and his teammates seem to have a very natural affection for him, that he can be a good leader, that he can put the team on his back and bring him back. He hasn't done that yet. Like, he hasn't had to do it.
Yeah.
And he feels a little far from that in terms of his development. So it's not like last year where he's the silver lining. You're watching the games just basically to see what he can do. And anything he does is good. And anything he does poorly is because of the bad situation he's in. He's in a different stage of the development now. And I understand people saying, like, pump the brakes. But at the same time, if you want to have any hope for the team this year, then you got to have high expectations for May.
Yeah, and I think you also have to be realistic.
And by high expectations, I mean being top half of the league.
Yeah, I think you have to be realistic about where they're at in this rebuild. Like, this is a multi-year rebuild. And you could say coaching staff, culture, whatever, they're year one. Roster, they're like year two and a half because they brought in Gonzalez in 2023 and some guys last year. But it's like they're not one of those. Like, again, I said Bo Nix and the Broncos. Like, Bo Nix was drafted into a team with a great offensive head coach, a great defense, and playmakers on offense, a pretty good O-line. Like, he was drafted into a really good situation. Even Michael Penix drafted into a really good situation for a young quarterback in Atlanta. Daniels, obviously, in Washington. May was drafted into the opposite, right? Like, they had just fired the greatest coach of all time. They hired someone who was underqualified. The offensive line, weapons, all that stuff. Defense took a huge step back. I mean, it was about as bad a situation as you can be in for a young quarterback, obviously with Caleb Williams last year, too.
All right, you can jump in with any of your Drake May or overall offense thoughts, 617-779-7937. On the other side, there's a national writer out there, as we keep talking about these national perspectives of the Patriots, which are honestly just a lot lower than around here. So maybe everybody talks about how negative the media is around here. I'm starting to see the inverse when you compare them to the national writers and national perspective, as we just heard from Chris Sims there. We have the expectations from one national writer from The Ringer on how much he expects the offense to improve. And get this, can they do it? He says, in spite of the coaching that the team has. So this is a national writer who's given his perspective on the offense and isn't so high on the Patriots coaching. Wait till you hear this right after the break.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Mego and John Lyons in for Jones and Keefe today. Talking about the Patriots offense. Patriots offense were ranked 30th out of 32 teams last year.
I thought they would have been ranked like 40th.
Averaged 291.9 yards per game. They finished last in passing touchdowns with 18, and they had the 32nd rank in total passing yards. So they were a dreadful offense last year. Out of all the teams, where would you expect them by the end of the year to rank? Just you don't have to pick like a specific offensive stat, but if you're ranking the offense compiling together between 1 to 32, where would you have them?
I would say in like that 22 to 25 neighborhood-ish.
Interesting.
Which, let's be clear, and I know I talked about this before, that would be a big step up from last year. Like if they went from 30th to 21st, like, and yeah, I know we all want it to be better than that, that is a big step forward. Like, again, we listed all the things about May last segment. That would be, so I think if they're 20th-ish, that's kind of what I'm thinking for them.
Well, you just went from 20th to 22nd to 25th. I mean, you reversed
those. But in that area, that
that's
neighborhood.
That's how I feel Lions about, like, the offensive line. Like, the offensive line was 29th.
And the receivers, I would say the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
again.
Go from 30th to 20th.
Maybe I'm the one person who's willing to put this on Drake May. Like, if Drake is able to be a top 15 quarterback, I think you should be able to be inside the top 20 for your offense. And you're right along with the natural perspective, or the national perspective, I should say. Ashil Kapadia from The Ringer. I'm probably butchering that name, but we talked about this on Early Edition on NBC Sports Boston last night. He had a write-up where he ranked all 32 teams and their offenses, and he had the Patriots at number 21. So he's right in line with you, Lions, but I wonder if you guys feel the same justification for this ranking. Because he says he likes Drake May. He really likes the running back group. He says after that, it gets dicey. This is what Kapadia says. New offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels has had success before in New England, but everyone seems to be forgetting one little thing. He always had Bill Belichick by his side. McDaniels has coached 5 offenses outside of the Belichick bubble, and all 5 finished in the bottom half of the league in terms of offensive efficiency. I would just like to see him succeed once away from Belichick before giving him the benefit of the doubt. In terms of May's supporting cast, it's better than last year's, but still loaded with question marks. The offensive line has had a chance to figure it out, but is still below average. Stephon Diggs is entering his age 32 season and is coming off an injury. Over the past 5 seasons, the only wide receivers age 32 or older who have had at least 800 receiving yards are AJ Green in 2021 with the Cardinals and Adam Thielen in 2023 with the Panthers. Maybe May is so good, he makes the coaching and supporting cast look better than they actually are. We see that with great quarterbacks all the time, but I think the more likely scenario is that this is a stable, competent, improving group that needs one more offseason of upgrades before it makes a bigger leap. He is really low on Josh McDaniels. Like,
I disagree.
He thinks that without Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels is nothing, is below average. He cited those 5 offenses. I just think maybe I'm bought in from Josh McDaniels, what he was able to show with Mac Jones. And I don't think very much of that had to do with Bill Belichick at all that year. that I think that with Drake May and what he's been able to show overall this preseason with Drake May and in training camp, I'm much higher on Josh McDaniels than that.
Yeah, and look, I'm not telling you the numbers when McDaniels hasn't been here are good, because they're not, but only one of those years he was actually an OC, right? The other years he was the head coach too, which is a totally different job, and he failed at. The one year he was an OC was 2011 with the Rams, and I know the numbers weren't good, but if you actually look at that Rams team, they had to use three different quarterbacks because of injuries, 11 different offensive linemen because of injuries. Danny Amendola got injured for the season in week one. They only had one real offensive weapon in the pass game, Brandon Lloyd. They did have Steven Jackson at running back, and they had a lame duck coaching staff who I think all got fired at the end of that year anyway. So I don't think any offensive coordinator in the league would have been able to make that Rams team a good offense. I don't. Like, pick a name, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, McDaniels, whatever. I think all of them would have struggled with that Rams team, given how bad the personnel in the situation was. I mean, it's a team that a few years later moved out of that city. I mean, we're talking about. So I do have a lot of faith in McDaniels, and I know a lot of it is next to Belichick, but I look at the way he adapted the offenses, whether it was a top 10 scoring offense with Matt Castle in 08. And I know we look at the dynasty thing as a hit piece against Belichick, but Matt Castle in that documentary talked about, yeah, they changed the offensive around for me because my skills are different than Brady.
He was able to scheme up an okay offense when the quarterback Cam Newton couldn't throw the ball anymore.
And even look at 2016. They basically ran three different offenses that year because you had two and a half, or a game and a half with Garoppolo, then a couple games with Brissett, and then Brady came back. And yeah, I know the base offense is the same, but all three of those guys did different things, and all three of them won games as the starting quarterback, including Garoppolo on the road in week one in Arizona that year. And we've well established now that Mac Jones isn't that good. He was looked at as a rookie of the year in late November that year.
He really was.
Like, that's, they were 9-4.
It was him and Jamar Chase.
They blew out Mike Vrabel's Tennessee Titans on November 28th that year, and he was looked at as a potential rookie of the year candidate. So I think, again, McDaniel's work, especially with young quarterbacks, I think speaks for itself.
It's the reason that he got another shot at a head coaching job after really botching two, because one of them he didn't do well in Denver, and then he got off the plane and went back to the Patriots before taking another one. So I think that it's interesting to me that the national perspective, at least from this one writer, is so low on Josh McDaniels.
Like, he's been in charge of the Patriots.
The idea of
offense.
Winning in spite of him?
Yeah, for 14 years, and they've been top 10 in scoring 13 times. Like, and I know a lot.
Are
but,
we in a bubble here?
But like, that's with
Lions,
Matt,
are we like, in a bubble? Do other people think that McDaniels, because he was a bad head coach, sucks this much as a coordinator?
I think there's two reasons. I think there's three reasons that people think that, and I think all three are unfair to him. One is the head coach thing. You're 100% right. Another thing is people think the only time he was good as an OC was with Brady, which is not true.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. You can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.